Almighty God and Father, we confess you as creator of heaven and earth, that you have made all things and continue to uphold them, maintain them, provide for us according to your fatherly hand. And we thank you for that, that we with the Psalms may sing that you are the creator of heaven and earth, that our God does whatever he pleases, that you, robed in majesty and almighty sovereign power, are able to do whatever you wish, whatever you please. And we thank you how also this morning we're able to remember and hear how it pleases you to save us, to work in us. May you do this according to your good pleasure that rests upon us. And we thank you for it because your pleasure is so abundant. That you save us, yes, even from the depths of sin and death. But then not just bringing us out of that and leaving us to our own, to live our life without you, but drawing us in, making us your own, placing your name upon us as your people, forever bound, covenanted with us. And may that then also be that wonderful assurance that we have this afternoon as we praise and glorify you, that we are your people. And may it then be our desire to enjoy you in all that you are and in your Son and in the Holy Spirit. And that in all things we give you glory. And as we said, that we come here this afternoon not bringing of our gifts, not bringing of even of our crops, but bringing truly our all. The fruit of lips that praise and confess your name. May that be true now also as we worship you and the rest of this week. That you may be praised and glorified in all that we do. That we may rely on you as our God. And so bless us also this time of worship. May it be blessed according to your Spirit. And grant us all that we need to listen to your word. And to be built up by it. We ask you all of this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ alone. Amen. This afternoon, we will turn to Isaiah 49, the first seven verses, which is one of these servant songs found in Isaiah. There's a number of servant songs in Isaiah, speaking of that figure that would come, the Messiah, the servant who would restore Israel. And you find some of the language that is used here in the Song of Simeon, which will be our text this afternoon. And so especially that language of light and of knowledge to the Gentiles and of glory for Israel. We'll find that here about this servant that was to come. So in some ways we may say, like, yeah, these are the kinds of prophecies on Simeon's mind as he sings for joy to the Lord. So Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 7. Listen to me, you islands, hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." And so far, our scripture reading in preparation for our text then this afternoon, the Song of Simeon. Let's now sing of Psalm 27, stanzas 1, 2, and 6, of being in God's dwelling, who is a light and a salvation to us all. And that wonderful theme of being close to God in his dwelling place, which we also get some of in the Song of Simeon again. So Psalm 27, stanzas 1, 2, and 6. As our text this afternoon, we'll turn to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read the surrounding verses, so Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 40, and focus on the Song of Simeon. In some ways, we have to wrap up two different series yet, especially since I missed a Sunday being sick. This one, with the canticles, will be the last one of that, and then probably next week, in the afternoon, we'll finish up the Belgic Confession, at least for that time. and then go back to the Heidelberg Catechism 2 weeks from now. So we'll do one more on the Belgic Confession and start on something new again next week, Sunday morning, most likely. First, we'll finish up with the fourth and final song that we find in those first chapters of Luke. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And so that song of Simeon will be our text this afternoon. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, I have a suspicion that in the last month or so, quite a few people here were asked or made a wish list at some point. Maybe some of you kids as well. Make a wish list. It's maybe something like two kinds of wish lists. The one where you just put the very thing you want the most on. It may be expensive. It may be the one thing that you really want. Or you may have one of those wish lists that's a mile long because it's all of those things that you don't have and you would really, really want. This afternoon, as we look at the Song of Simeon, we hear of someone who had that wish, that desire for just one thing. He had his heart set on the consolation of Jerusalem, Israel. Think of consolation as comfort. If there was just one thing he wanted, it was to see God's good news for his people. And in a wonderful way, the Lord fulfills that wish. So he sings for joy to the Lord in the song that we know as in Latin, since I've been mentioning the Latin tunes or the titles every time because they're often used when we sing them. Nunc dimittis, now dismiss. Dismiss your servant. We'll look at this song this afternoon. And so previously, almost all of the songs that we've looked at were in anticipation of Christ's birth. Except for the angels, of course, that's when Christ was born. Now we're a little bit ahead. Christ has been born. He has received his name, and when the time comes for cleansing and purification, his parents present him to the temple, receives his name, the sacrifice his name is made for him and for Mary's cleansing. In every way, it's as Luke says, Jesus fulfilled the law, going through it all, not because he needed cleansing, but because we do. We need someone to go through it all. But maybe more important than what is happening almost is the setting of it. Because once again, everything happens in the temple. And we've brushed against this temple theme a little bit as we've been going through the songs, but I don't think we've really dealt with it properly yet, because in all the other songs that we've looked at, wasn't so much right away tied to the temple. So let's take that time now, because this temple theme is so important in Luke. It begins in the temple. Everyone's there in the temple. Zechariah is in the temple. It just so happened that he was the one who was able to offer incense in the temple. And this is where the first announcement of the gospel takes place, when the angel Gabriel appears. It's a wonderful thing happening there first in the temple. And Luke keeps coming back to this, to the temple. Even the fact that he spends so much time, first of all, giving us these songs, it's something of a temple theme. For, just think about it. The temple would have been the place of song in the Old Testament and around this time. It would have been the place of songs and psalms. But see, this is the interesting thing that Luke does. Instead of saying, so at this point, the Jews sang this psalm or that psalm, or this is what they were would customarily sing in the temple in Jesus' day, he doesn't look at that. No, he says, I have new songs for you. Song of Mary, Song of Zechariah, Song of the Angels, and a Song of Simeon. Starts to share songs that have to do with Jesus Christ. He starts to indicate some important change again. That change that it's not so much maybe about the temple anymore as it is about Jesus Christ. Focus changes to him. Yeah, the temple is going to be a key place throughout the gospel, but only as it relates to Jesus Christ. It's really the place where Christ shines. And the story of Simeon is really the best example of this, or one of the best. And the best one of this shift. For here's an old man in the temple. Some ways we may say he probably has seen it all. Described as a devout and righteous Jew. He's praised the Lord. He has worshipped him. He prays. He has lived his life just serving the Lord. And after such a life, he just wants one thing: to see the consolation of Jerusalem. He believes the promises that God had given in the Old Testament, that God would restore Israel, restore the temple, restore Jerusalem. And he would love to see it. Hear that gospel preached. Preach to God's people. A wonderful comfort in the Old Testament. That God would come, that he would appear. Think of Zechariah's song again. That God would visit his people. And that Israel would be healed. And since Simeon uses some of that language and imagery from Isaiah in his song, maybe he was thinking, like, I just want to see that servant of the Lord. May he come. That servant of the Lord who would be anointed by the Spirit, who would preach forgiveness, righteousness, and justice as God's kingdom. May I just see him. May I just see some of those promises fulfilled in my lifetime. Says it would just be enough. In a wonderful way, his wish, his prayer is answered. Simeon had already been told by the Spirit that he would not pass away before he would see the salvation of the Lord. Who knows how long Simeon had to wait for this? Age isn't really mentioned. We don't know when he was informed of this. He is coupled in some ways with Anna, just in this passage. He was obviously quite old. So you could think of him also probably most likely as an older feller, one of the older generations of Israel. Then the one day he's told more. As he's waiting, he's told somehow. The Spirit directs him to the temple. No idea how that went, but imagine if the day before he was told that he had to go to the temple tomorrow. Just imagine him being up nice and early, trying to beat the priests into it just to be there as soon as he can. First in line, perhaps, at the gate, waiting. And as he gets in, just waiting at that door, at the temple courts, wondering, that's a couple with a baby. Is that it? There's another couple. Is that him? Waiting, wondering, Until then, he sees Joseph and Mary appearing with Jesus, and everything becomes clear to him. Here is the consolation of Jerusalem. And so he approaches Mary and Joseph. He asks if he, I guess, may take the child in his arms. Luke doesn't describe that he asks it. It just, you know, he takes the child and there he goes. Mary and Joseph probably had no idea who this is, but stranger things have happened when Christ was born. Simeon takes the child and adoringly sings of his great joy this way: Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now you dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. And one of the things that stands out about Simeon's song is that absolute peace that he has once he holds and sees his Savior. Because when Simeon talks about being dismissed, now dismiss your servant in peace, he's not talking about being dismissed from the temple or from Jerusalem, that he would finally leave. It is just another way of saying, Lord, I am ready. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to pass away. The Lord had fulfilled his promise to Simeon. He would see the comfort, the consolation of Jerusalem. And now he's seen the Christ, Jesus. And he wholeheartedly sings, Lord, that is enough. I've seen it. I've seen your salvation. And he can go from this life in peace. I almost picture him as a watchman, a guard of some sort, maybe on a city wall. Just that during the night, that's his shift. He's waiting for the dawn, for that sunrise. A wonderful Christmas image, too. It's a long night, but when he sees the sun rise, he announces the new day with joy. His shift is over. He has done his task. He's met the morning at his post and praised its coming. The song is so full of peace. But the interesting thing is really that question, what does Simeon see? Does he just see a child just a couple weeks old? What brings him such peace? Well, he says it himself. Now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. There's something wonderfully powerful about his faith and comfort in that statement. Because here Simeon is already praising God's salvation, almost as if it has already come and has happened, as he has seen it, even though he's only really holding a child. Has this child, this baby, done anything yet? No, of course not. Newborn doesn't really do that much. And yet, that's enough. Simeon says, my eyes have seen your salvation. And what Simeon already understood and what the Holy Spirit gave him to understand is that salvation is wrapped up. It's all wrapped up in that one child. That there is only one Savior. There's only one who could save them and all. There's only one who will do it all. And that is this one child that he has there in his arms. Salvation, being saved, is for Simeon not some event. It's not even some plan. It's not even some grand idea. It is for him a person, a child at that time. Jesus Christ. So what we see as we go through Simeon's song is that he has this incredible hope and faith just in Jesus Christ. To see what he sees is to see how Christ is fulfilling every promise. It's to see that salvation is this child. That when Jesus receives that name, Jesus, the Lord Yahweh saves, Simeon is fully convinced that is true. This child will live up to that name. And think about how sure Simeon is of this. He says, this one is salvation. My eyes have seen it. So, Lord, let your servant depart in peace. He's so sure of it, he says, I fear not the end of my life. Lord, I've seen this child now. I don't even fear death anymore. I've held the Messiah. It's enough for me. My greatest wish, my prayer has been fulfilled. Your great promises have been fulfilled to me. I can go in peace. Holding that young, Jesus will allow Simeon, as he says, to depart in peace. Striking, isn't it? He doesn't say, Lord, just give me a couple more years. I'd love to see this child grow up. Lord, I'm not sure. Can I see something of the glory, of the wonder, of the wisdom, or something of this child? He says, no, then and there is all that he needs. My eyes have seen the Lord's salvation. I'm saved. I can be dismissed in peace. Of course, Simeon's situation is somewhat unique. He has that, in some ways, the prophecy, the promise to him that he would not pass away before he would see God's salvation. And in some ways, all of the songs that we've looked at have been somewhat unique. But despite his situation being unique, his song has been sung by the church for centuries. And in one way in particular, it kind of took up an interesting place in the time of the Reformation. The church of John Calvin in Geneva, you may know, Genevan church at the time had a Genevan Psalter, so most of the Psalms, all into French, was sung there, and then a couple of canticles, Bible verses, Bible texts turned into psalms or songs, like these four that we've been dealing with, or at least three of them, also including the Song of Simeon. And the Song of Simeon received a place, a special place somewhat, in the liturgy of every Lord's Supper Sunday. Every Lord's Supper Sunday, if you were to go to that church, you would end that service with this Song of Simeon. You'd go on your way out of that service with this song on your mind. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. So yes, maybe okay, Simeon's situation was unique, but think about this. What this song is doing and singing that as a congregation after Lord's Supper, what that cultivates or what that brings about. Lord's Supper is this tangible, visible assurance of every really promise that God has given us, the fulfillment of every promise that God gives us. You unpack the Lord's Supper and there's all so many promises wrapped into it, the assurance that truly our sins have been washed away, just as certainly as Christ's body has been broken and his blood poured out, that we are holy, consecrated, dedicated to God as we take and we eat and we remember and believe and proclaim the death of our Lord until he comes. That we are part of God's people and his family as he welcomes us at the table. Promises are fulfilled there. And above all, it's the Lord Jesus who meets us as our host in the supper. He's the one who, of course, then is our host, and of course is the one who draws near to us every Sunday as we worship him. It's the one we meet as we gather together. It's the one also then who gives us those visible signs and seals to encourage us of his assure us of his promises and to encourage us in our faith. We don't get to hold a baby Christ and say, then we have seen your salvation. But what we do get was we receive Jesus Christ by faith, Christ crucified and raised. Even very visibly so and tangibly so in the Lord's Supper, in the bread and wine. And every time that church in Geneva sang this song after celebrating the Lord's Supper meal, all of those voices then confessed, Lord, I have seen your salvation. I've come to see Christ as the Messiah, as our Savior. He is my salvation. Dismiss me now in peace. Dismiss, yeah, probably also as people went away into their week, as the service was over. This was their last song, and strengthened and encouraged they to be ready for another week. But also in that sense, that this, Christ, to be at His feet, to be at His table is what we want from life. That we may say, to hold you, to see you, to hold on to you in faith is my one wish. And I can go from your presence in peace without fear because I have seen the Lord, the Christ, my salvation. Sense how this song challenges us to see what Simeon sees. Jesus is that consolation of Jerusalem. He is that one comfort. I mean, life may offer many others. There can be changes and comforts that promise some kind of relief in our life. Now, during his lifetime, how many consolations of Jerusalem do you think Simeon would have heard of? Oh, Simeon, you're waiting for the Messiah. Well, don't worry. There's a new king in Israel. Everything will be better. Find comfort in that. Oh, Simeon, there's a new high priest. There will be new priests at the temple. It'll be all fine. Jerusalem will be restored again. A new emperor, maybe he'll bring peace. New inventions, new fads, new teachings, new upgrades to the temple. It's going to be greater, glorious. Maybe even new religions and new gods, new pleasures. And that day, as Simeon is holding Christ there in the temple, how many people do you think were swarming around them? Besides Anna, who were busying themselves with one of those comforts, saying like, oh, this is the consolation of Jerusalem. And Simeon just saying, none of it comforts as this one child. I was waiting and waiting and waiting because nothing else would really bring that consolation. Only one who's able to deal with death, only one who's able to deal with all of my sin. There's only one consolation that remains, and that gives such comfort, that makes Simeon confess, now dismiss your servant in peace. Simeon, Anna, they announce it to all. It's Christ. It's this child. Can you sing this song of Simeon? I'm sure there's struggles with it. We like to have just one more wish than this. You know, the wonderful thing about songs and about liturgy is, on one hand, sometimes it reflects what's in our hearts. But worship also transforms us, transforms our hearts. It's formative. It teaches us our hearts what to sing, what to pray, what to think, how to worship. And so you can count on it that at some point also in the future, as we celebrate Lord's Supper, Song of Simeon will be our closing song. So that we too may be dismissed in that joy of seeing our Lord, seeing our salvation. And sing, say, confess, I'll go now in peace. Although Simeon didn't get to see what Jesus would do, didn't get to see much Jesus will do, he still describes what the salvation will look like. What does he see in this child that gives him such peace and joy? Well, he sees a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. He sees in Jesus the fulfillment, at least as two Old Testament prophecies. First, that Jesus will be a light for revelation to the Gentiles. And within the Gospel of Luke, this is the first announcement that the Gospel is going to go out to all people. It's wonderful. It's at the temple. That's where it's first announced. That's where Jesus returns to start preaching the Gospel. That's where the disciples start preaching the Gospel. But it is going to go out from there. Right? Read Luke and Acts, and you read that then the gospel goes from Jerusalem to Samaria to the ends of the world. And this is the first announcement that is what's going to happen. What gives Simeon such hope is that in this child is not just that the salvation is for Jerusalem or that it is for Israel, but that he says it has this sheer scope of it is for all people. People not yet born, people that he didn't know of, countries that hadn't been heard of or discovered before. That this is the Savior of the world. That Jesus will be the Savior of all people, no matter their nationality, the color of their skin, or their ethnicity, or where they live. That he would be good news for all who would believe. And there's just something amazing to the scale of this promise that Simeon gets to see. That it's not only him, not only Israel, but all people, the whole world, who would be able to say the same things, to come to the same Christ. That here is more than a cure to a certain disease. Here is more than the Savior who stands up for the oppressed. Here is one who can bear the burdens of the whole world, the sin of an entire humanity fallen into sin. And everyone can look to him and find grace and salvation. Oh, today many people like to make truth subjective, personal. What is true for you is not true for me, and vice versa. I might believe something, but it doesn't mean that you should. When Simeon sings his song, he does the exact opposite of this. What he finds there as his comfort is the comfort of all people. The beauty of our Savior is that he is the Savior of all of us and all who will believe. Second, Simeon sees that Jesus will be the glory to your people, Israel. You think of all of the glory of Israel throughout history. And obviously, it goes back to who they are as God's people. Jews at the time would have had many things to boast about, and they did. Abraham was our forefather. He is the father of faith. We are the people of the Exodus, saved by God's mighty hand. We are the people of the tabernacle and the temple. Look, it stands still here in Jerusalem. How is it glorious? We are the people of David and of Solomon, who had those wonderful reigns and kingdoms. There are all different kinds of matters of glory in Israel's past. Unfortunately for Simeon, much of it had disappeared by that time. Some of it was maybe there. Yeah, the temple still stood. It was somewhat glorious, but it wasn't like the old days. But God had promised that his glory would return, that the house of David restored Jerusalem as center point again. His glory would return to the temple. And as Joseph and Mary carry Jesus into the temple, Simeon just recognizes it. Here is some greater glory, greater than anything that has happened in the past. Here is something greater than this temple that they're standing in. The Son of God who comes in a form of a child, the human form of a child, having taken on human flesh. The glory of God has returned, even if it's still veiled and covered in this child. We don't know too much about Simeon, but who knows? Maybe he was incredibly wealthy. Maybe he had a wonderful family. Maybe he was a well-known man in Jerusalem. Think about all of the different ways. At the end of his life, he might have said, if I want to glory in one thing in my life, I will glory in this. His actions, his deeds, the things that he had accomplished, his wealth, his status, or more. And he says it doesn't even matter because there's only one glory for Israel. He got to hold it, Christ. And for glory to your people, Israel. A light for revelation and glory. That is what allows Simeon to depart in peace. And he leaves it all with God. He leaves it all with Jesus Christ. God has fulfilled his promises to Simeon. What more would he ask for? Right, consider our wish lists. Consider that infant, that child. If we can say that we've truly seen God's salvation, what else do we really need when it comes down to it? Is there then anything that we really need that God is not also going to give us? If there's anything he's going to keep from us, he has offered us his beloved child to hold, to adore, to praise, to be sitting at his table, to confess as your Lord. And so then let us sing and learn to sing. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Amen. I realize I hadn't mentioned that before, but I was mentioning these Latin titles not to show off or teach you Latin, but it's because, like when you turn to hymn 22,